I just wanted to tell you, when we were out, when I was out on the East Coast, first of all, I missed the humidity so much. My hair looked better, my skin looked better, everything looked better. The West Coast has dried me out like a freaking prune, and I am sad about it.
West Coast is good for
You can use that as the intro if you want.
that. Shall.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the show. I'm Blair.
And I'm Kirsten, and we are
Mediocre
Content. And I hope you're ready to rumble just a little bit.
Sure.
Oh, okay. Well, it's all fake anyway, right? Did I rouse any concerns with that comment?
It's all fake anyway. Right.
All I could think about for some reason when I was putting this together is that Shrek scene where Lord Farquaad is like making them battle. She's like, hit him with the chair.
Hit him with the chair.
That's all I can think about. Some of you may die,
some
but that is a sacrifice I am willing to make.
That is the best
it really
from a
is.
Monarchy in any movie ever.
I would actually consider following his lead if I had somebody that was that confident and just like, eh, it's fine.
Some of you may die.
It's the honesty for me.
It's the honesty. Like, I just want my king to be upfront with me about my impending doom.
I don't have to like it. It just has to be true.
That's right.
Speak your truth, King. And speaking of King, Lynx has now decided to join us now that we've spent the last 2 hours talking. He hasn't cared at all.
Fluffy.
Hello.
So cute.
Hi.
Jinx is present in the room, but he is sleeping with big glasses on.
I bet he looks so fabulous.
He does.
I'm going to need him.
He's giving Elton John.
He needs to start playing the piano like immediately. Yeah.
We'll work on that.
Has your father scared you? What's happened? He's staring into the hallway, very bewildered.
Mother.
In a moment, he's going to jump on the desk, throw everything around, and then look at me like, hey, how's it going? Oh, look, he just did it. I don't know if he'll come into frame. He's going to sit like right here and probably press a bunch of buttons. He's very concerned about the hallway. I'm sorry. We'll just continue. Just ignore him. Anyway.
Ghost in the hallway.
It's his dad stabbing something downstairs.
Tyler.
Messing up. I'm trying to record right now.
I know. All right. So the disclaimer before we get started, obviously we're not experts on anything. Neither of us have had any experience with WWE fighting because we are not into that.
No.
We're very much passive people.
We are very passive people.
Avoiding conflict of any kind. If you have come to this podcast to get any kind of advice, like how to start your WWE career, you have come to the wrong place.
You know what? I could puffy paint your belt for you.
That's nice. We are.
Thank you, Sweetbriar.
Jeez. That's a very niche joke.
No, it is a very niche joke.
But we are the place to learn about things that you may not know about, like WWE, because I know nothing about this except for that most of it is fake and it's kind of controversial. And otherwise, there's no good news this week because Kirsten did such a good job researching that we have so much information.
I have filled the time adequately.
And so because the WWE has been a thing since the 80s, there's a lot of information that needs to be covered. So
basically, this podcast is going to be longer than a WWE stare-off. Okay, that's how long this is gonna be.
So cringe.
It is.
Also, first of all, can we talk about really quick. Jake Paul and Mike Tyson, have you seen this? I don't think it's
have.
WWE that they're doing, but they're doing some other like MMA, I don't know.
Yes.
Whatever. I don't care, as long as Jake Paul gets his ass beat, I don't really care.
Yes.
I need Mike Tyson to kill him. Like, he just needs to go.
I don't even know, to be honest, until people are like, yeah, it's that podcast guy. Oh, no, that's Logan Paul. Whichever one it is, I didn't know who they were. And in fairness, the only names I really knew were Hulk Hogan, because classic, okay?
Right.
I don't know much about him, but I know he wears spandex.
Apparently he lives in Florida now.
Oh, perfect. I'll go visit him later. And then Mike Tyson, I knew because they make a lot of memes of him in other things like Family Guy.
Yes.
That's
And
the
he
only
has the
reason.
face tattoo, and it's really hard to
Yes.
forget someone if they have a face tattoo.
You're actually, if you want to get somebody's attention and have that
Face
memory
tattoo.
last forever. So unfortunately, there is a lot of information that will get missed probably because they've, like Blair said, it's been alive since the 80s and it's still going strong. So there's so much going on. There's so many new wrestlers. The one thing I do want to say is that if you are also obsessed with WWE and you want to watch someone who is equally knowledgeable on the subject, my friend Kate over at KateJPG on Twitch, she is the actual expert in the room. And unfortunately, I do not have her here. It is so sad. I should have asked, in fairness. So, Kate, please don't come for me. But she is genuinely so knowledgeable. She loves wrestling. She's all about it. So, if you want to, hang with her and get some wrestling knowledge on or have a chit chat, feel free to go over there. She is on Twitch. Again, that's Kate, CaiteJPG. And she is legit. Probably one of the nicest people I know amongst all my other Twitch friends. So,
Shout out to Kate.
huge shout out to Kate and your silly, beautiful obsession. I love it for you. Also, the article that I pulled all this from, which it is one article, which is disgusting.
Wild. That is
It is
wild.
one article that all this came from. So, again, not experts, but this person definitely was. They have tons of old photos and they are epic. That's what I can say. The photos on this article do it significantly more justice. So feel free to click the link in our little description and take a look because it's very fun. So I guess we'll get started. WWE stands for World Wrestling Entertainment, and there is a lot of spandex and long-winded introductions and extremely aggressive staring contests. But people who love this, shall I say, sport in quotations, truly love this.
Can
Okay.
I just make a quick observation
You
from what I
may.
know?
Yes.
It's like trashy reality television, but mainly targeted towards men.
I
Not
would
saying
agree.
that women don't enjoy it, but like I
Sure.
would say it's marketed for men, most likely.
Agreed. You got a lot of muscly dudes in tight clothes, or a lot of very beautiful women in extremely tight, flashy clothes, and they're just going ham at each other for hours on end and say, like, all up in your face, like, oh, you want to do? What do you want to do? That is so entertaining for some people, I guess. I don't
Yeah.
know.
And it's like there's stunts from what I
Yeah.
understand as well.
People flipping off of bars and smacking
Yeah.
people with tables. Like, that's a lot.
It is a lot.
The crowds are also into it. So I feel like the crowd's energy is like what speaks to it, really. And essentially, the end result of all that fighting is extremely large championship belts that span somebody's entire face. And they range from heavyweight champion belts to intercontinental champions. But I guess the real question is, how did it get all started? How did we get here? How are we here?
How did we get
How
here?
did we get here? It's a safe question to ask. So June 6th,
Instantly pivots to a space episode.
blast off. So
Stop.
Mercury is the small. Just kidding. honestly, it's a really. I should have transitioned that way. Surprise!
It's
It's not
space,
wrestling in
actually.
space. Also, I hope you appreciate the title. I feel like I can't complete the title because I think it's trademarked now or something weird because it's all his name is John Cena. That's just. Yeah,
Oh,
that's
okay.
what it
All
is. So,
right.
yeah, anyway.
That's what I assumed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So June 6, 1982, there's a man named McMahon, and that's probably not how you say it, but that's how I'm
I
saying
think it's
it.
McMahon, actually.
McMahon? How?
I knew a girl who has that last name and
And it
it's
was
spelled that way,
McMahon?
and it's McMahon. Yeah.
Okay, listener, you obviously cannot see what I'm seeing, but it's MCMAHON.
I'm pretty sure.
Okay, I trust you. I'll say
Okay.
McMahon, and if that's not right, you guys know what to do.
Okay.
If it is McMahon, though, I'm gonna chuckle just a little bit. McMahon! That is harder to say, though. McMahon makes a lot more sense.
Right?
So, if this gentleman hadn't taken over his family business from his father, who was Vincent J. McMahon or McMahon, whichever one you prefer, this timeline in general would not exist. He purchased Capital Wrestling, and that began the overall revolution of wrestling and particularly WWE standards, and he built on the regional success of his father's company with the soon-to-be household names of Andre the Giant, Hulk Hogan, and Rowdy Roddy Piper, which is quite the name, and essentially turned WWE into the national powerhouse that we know and some of us love today. Okay. You got it?
I knew.
You got the pronunciation?
I think so.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah, on YouTube.
You are looking at Julian's pronunciation.
Why are they gonna be weird? Just say the name, sir. You don't need to like.
In standard English, British English, it's said as McMahon.
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 McMahon. So it's kind of like a mashup.
America. Yeah.
McMahon.
McMahon. McMahon.
Okay.
Well, that's how I'm going to say it.
I didn't like that guy's voice at all.
All right. Well, that's how I'm going to say it from now on.
All right. Great.
McMahon. Oh. I'm so sorry if that's how you say it and it's like a real thing. I apologize. We're not making fun of it. It's just funny.
It's funny. Okay.
Okay. So, McMahon got all of this started, and then in 1984, Hulk Hogan, who you should 100% know, if you know nothing about wrestling, he's at least the one I knew of, he became the first person to escape what was called the Camel Clutch. Don't ask me what it is, just go look it up, before blasting the Iron Sheik, which I also do not know who that is, with his signature leg drop, and he ended up winning the WWE Championship, and from the moment the official counts three, the Hulkster emerges as the standard bearer of WWE. He essentially becomes the face of this entire campaign for WWE.
Yep.
The incendiary Roddy Piper invited someone called Jimmy Superfly Snuka onto his Piper's... The names are hilarious. I love the names. That's the most fun about all of this.
Also, Hulk Hogan, the first man ever to bleach his mustache and hair.
It looked great because his tan, while fake, was very prominent. I feel like it was a good contrast, you know?
Totally.
Orange and blonde.
Like, sure.
So anyway, Superfly Snuka onto his Piper's.
Where Donald Trump got his inspiration from.
He anyway, was like, so. I look exactly like Hulk Hogan. Like this.
Yeah.
Into his Piper's Pit and mocks his Fijian heritage, which was rude, and we don't appreciate that. But slugs him with a physical coconut in response and shoves a banana in his face and lashes him with his belt. All of which are terrible. However, this leads to a heated rivalry between the two, of course, and sets the rowdy one and Snuka's friend, Hulk Hogan, on a course for their inevitable collision, which is literally... So what you need to know about all of this and why any of this matters is because the rivalries between the wrestlers are what makes this whole thing work. The back and forth, the outlandish bashing, the antagonizing on things such as your culture or silly things like that, which in the real world, we're like, ew, gross, don't do that. But it is literally the stage setter for your fame, your rivalry, and the crowd's buy-in.
To translate for those who watch trashy reality television, this is the equivalent of someone getting a drink spilled in their face.
It's 100% just like that. Except it's a banana and a coconut, both of which are really sad.
Right. And these guys have big muscles and tans and dye their hair.
And loud mouths. Anyway.
Right. Yeah.
So as WWE's popularity continued to surge, Mr. McMahon forges a relationship with a fellow upstart media conglomerate on the rise, MTV, which you should also know if you're in the Americas.
A throwback for those of us who watch cable back in the day.
Music television. Beautiful. The union, which was dubbed the Rock and Wrestling Connection, produced The Brawl to End It All, which was a WWE special that aired on the Music Channel and featured pop star Cyndi Lauper in the corner of Wendy Richter as she defeats the Fabulous Moolah for the Women's Championship, and the bout would pull a record rating for the fledgling network and essentially set off the viewership as well.
Wow.
Cyndi Lauper? Really?
I don't know.
Good for her, I guess. I don't know.
Wait, features pop star Cyndi Lauper in the corner of Wendy Richer as she defeats. Oh, so she wasn't fighting. She was just there.
No, yeah, she was supporting
Okay.
Wendy in the fight at
Right.
the women's championship.
Right.
Yeah. And so to see a pop star
There.
supporting someone
Right.
that was very well loved and liked, yeah.
Yeah. And this was the 80s, so that makes
This was the
sense.
80s, yes.
Yep. Okay.
Continuing in the 80s, the Hulkster would become the first WWE superstar to host Saturday Night Live in 1985, and the show was more than an opportunity for Hogan at the time to work on his comedic chops, which is great.
To make his career more well-rounded.
Correct.
Yeah.
And it's also the last stop for all the WrestleMania main event participants on the way to the next day's show, I guess. Apparently, which I felt was an interesting fact to provide. This is how the grandest stage of them all is also first step. The establishing the fundamentals, every future WrestleMania will follow. The inaugural event, which is the grandest stage of them all, features major celebrities such as Cyndi Lauper, Muhammad Ali, and a star-studded main event of Hulk Hogan and Mr. T colliding with Roddy Piper and Paul Orndorff. McMahon risks it all with that one in particular, and the risk pays off. It is literally all anyone can talk about, which is fantastic. And then Saturday night's main event debuts on NBC. Before monthly pay-per-views become the norm, fans would have a chance to see their favorite superstars battle it out between early supercards. So, it's just a different time for television.
It's interesting that, like, I didn't realize that it was on NBC.
Yeah,
That's
right, of all
wild. That's like
places.
a major network.
It is. And the first show featured a clash between Hulk Hogan, of course, and someone named Cowboy Bob Orton. And Wendy Richard defending her women's title against the legendary Fabulous Moolah once again. In the testament to the Hulkster skyrocketing fame, the immortal one, all of the, I don't know who their real names are, by the way. Like, if you're asking me who these people are, don't ask. Go look it up. I don't know. But the immortal one, whoever they are, celebrates the debut of his own Saturday morning cartoon, Hulk Hogan's Rockin' Wrestling, and the release of his entrance theme, Real American, on the first
Oh
WWE
no.
record.
It gives real man energy. Yeah.
Yes. It also gives be a man.
Be a
Like,
man.
be a man. It's very red, white, and blue, if I may. The wrestling album, which is hilarious, and other tracks on the hit release would include Don't Go Messin' with a Country Boy by Hillbilly Jim and Mean Gene Okerlund's rousing rendition of Tutti Frutti, which is sad. I didn't realize we needed another one of those.
Apparently.
Tutti Frutti was fine, Gene. Leave it alone.
Also, looking up the pictures of the women who you mentioned,
Yes.
the hair is herring.
And the hair is herring. It's the 80s, girl.
It is the 80s, and I love it so much.
I'm not kidding. This article had the best photos, truly. So if you want to see some of these moves and these bods in action, it's a very good place to look.
Odds.
If you want to see stars and stripes on a bum bum, that's the place to go, unfortunately.
Also, 4th of July at any date, but that's
Also
neither here
true.
nor there.
Very accurate. Oh, I guess for us, happy Memorial Day.
Yikes.
1986 WrestleMania is so big that it would end up taking place in three arenas on the same day. This included Long Island's Nassau Coliseum. Mr. T beats Roddy Piper in a boxing match there. And then Andre the Giant won a battle royale featuring stars from WWE and the NFL at Chicago's Rosemont Horizon. Finally, Hulk Hogan would outlast King Kong Bundy in a steel cage match in Los Angeles at the Memorial Sports Arena. And then, of course, fans were treated to celebrity appearances by Ray Charles, Ozzy Osbourne, and Elvira.
Elvira,
I
though.
know.
We
It's just
love
so
her.
cute. Yeah.
Quick thing for the people who are not familiar. Andre the Giant is the same guy from A Princess Bride,
Yes.
who plays the giant in that movie, just so everyone's aware. Yeah.
And Mr. T is also very well known, I would say. So I
He's
forget the
got the
joke.
pants.
He does have the pants, but there's also
I
like
pity the
I
fool.
pity the fool. Yes,
Fool.
yes, yes.
That is it.
And he was in a lot of commercials when I was growing up. Anyway.
I think he actually sold tea.
He did.
Yeah.
No, he absolutely like, did.
Literal
tea. Yep.
Yeah. Anyway.
It fits. Now into 1987, the biggest WrestleMania in history draws and announced over 93,000 to the Pontiac Silverdome, and this would be the setting for a new outdoor attendance record. The epic main event between WWE Hulk Hogan and Andre the Giant featured the iconic body slam and Andre's first pinfall loss in WWE. On that same night, Ricky Steamboat defeats Randy Savage for the Intercontinental Championship in a technical masterpiece. And I assume most people know who Randy Savage is. I feel like that's another pretty normal name out there. No?
I'm not. Like, that's okay. I am removed from this community, so maybe. I mean, I don't know.
I don't call him up on the weekends, but I've heard his name here and there.
Yeah.
And then WWE's second pay-per-view, which was called the Survivor Series, presents multiple elimination tag team matches, and Andre the Giant captains his team to victory over Hulk Hogan's squad and earns a rematch against the Hulkster for the WWE Championship. Meanwhile, there is someone... There is someone called Honky Tonk Man who was also
not to be confused by the Rolling Stones song Honky Tonk Woman
or Honky Tonk Badonkadonk by
by
Trace Atkins.
There you go.
This is Honky Tonk Man.
I forgot about that song until you just brought it up.
As a kid, I loved jamming to the video. Anyway,
that was an iconic song.
CMT, anyway. Also a great MTV, but for country music, highly recommend it come back. Yes. But he overcame three opponents during this by making them run by running away from them. Which is hilarious to me. So anyway, basically it's like Survivor for wrestlers, and it did really well, and it ended up in a rematch between two greats, and everybody loved it. Woohoo. 1988, airing on the USA Network, the inaugural Royal Rumble match featured only 20 superstars and is won by Hacksaw Jim Duggan. And after he dumped One Man Gang over the top rope, which is kind of embarrassing. If your name is One Man Gang and you get like yeeted, that's kind of embarrassing. Other competitors in the soon to be annual brawl would include future WWE Hall of Famers Bret Hitman Hart, Harley Race, and Tito Santana. In 1989, at WrestleMania 5, so we've now crested into WrestleMania 5 at this point. Hulk Hogan would overcome his former friend Randy Savage to win the WWE Championship, and elsewhere on that card, Rick Rude would upset the Ultimate Warrior to score the Intercontinental Championship. Plus, Shawn Michaels and Mr. Perfect, which is an interesting name as well, make their WrestleMania debuts, while Roddy Piper returns to his first appearance in WWE in 2 years. And then finally, in that year, right before the 90s, No Holds Barred, which starred Hulk Hogan, was a movie release, and it was the first film produced by Mr. McMahon, and it becomes part of a WWE action when actor Tommy Lister, who plays Zeus in the film, shows up in WWE to avenge his on-screen loss to the Hulkster. And if that isn't wrestling, I don't know what is. I actually don't know what it is.
No.
Still very lost.
Neither do I. Also, I'm looking up Mr. Perfect. Not that cute.
Oh,
I know.
So sad. Mr. False advertising over there. Right. Maybe he's perfect in other ways, you know? Does he have a nice personality? Who knows? I don't know.
He was addicted to drugs, though, and that is how he died in 2003.
Ooh, that's kind of sad. Yeah. Ooh. Okay, well, Mr. Not So Perfect, RIP, so sorry for you.
That's kind of not sad. To bring the mood down, sorry.
Not to be the mood bad, but he has perished.
He is, in fact, deceased.
Sag. And unfortunately, that is everything in the 80s. So,
wow.
It's just
I have a question.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, the 80s, would that be like the golden age of WWE, or are we getting there?
I feel like it was more like a Kickstarter, right?
Okay.
So they were formulating everything. You're getting the names out there of the greats. You're establishing different championships. You're establishing a network that will host said championships to a broader audience.
Yeah.
And now you're furthering that, perhaps by mistake, by making movies about it to like
I see.
gain additional traction, not just for the sport, but also your greats that are happening.
Well, and I guess it made sense to make movies because like YouTube and stuff didn't exist yet.
It's true.
So
It's true.
that was the only real like media that you
Yeah.
could do.
I would have recommended direct to VHS for that. I don't know if I would have put it in theaters, but
That's fair. That's
also
fair.
VHS, yes, not DVDs. That was a different thing.
VHS, for those who don't know, it's like a cassette tape, which you probably don't know what that is either, but it's bigger.
It's a chunky CD with wheels and tape
Yeah.
that you had to rewind just to watch something again. That's why we ended up with two of our favorite VHSs so that we could rewind the other one later and watch one that was already rewound. It was great
See, and
strategy.
that is peak VHS behavior.
Always have to have an extra.
I think we only ever had one of
Oh,
all of our VHSs,
you
which was
just
fine.
weren't. I mean, you weren't playing the game right. I
We
mean,
weren't, no.
yeah.
It was, yeah.
Aristocats was ours for the double.
Oh my God.
Go figure with my three
I think
cats.
I love that movie. And I think we had that on VHS. We had a lot of the Disney ones on VHS.
Yep, us as well. I mean,
We
we
had a
had.
lot of Barney on
Oh, yeah, me
VHS.
too.
Yeah.
Barney was also a staple in my house for some reason.
Yeah. We
Yeah.
loved Barney.
Hell yeah. Also, Oliver and Company made me cry every time. Did you ever watch that
Oh,
one? That's
I
little
did
orange kitty
watch it.
cat.
It
Oh,
was not
why should I
the Fox
win?
and the Hound is what got me.
Oh, even today.
Yeah.
Even I cannot watch that movie. It has scarred me for
I
life.
know.
When she leaves him
I know.
in the woods, she's like, "You can't come with me."
I know. I know.
Anyway.
Please excuse us while we cry for a few minutes.
Not to bring
We're struggling
the
here. We are struggling.
mood down. Okay. So the 90s. This is the first time that WrestleMania would be headlined by two fan favorites. And this was very important because, similar to what we were just discussing, a lot of the 80s was a stage setter, getting the name out there, making sure people knew who you were and how to access you. And now it's all about hitting everything right. Yeah.
Right.
So the event would see Hulk Hogan's first pinfall loss to the Ultimate Warrior, and only WrestleMania match ever contested between the Intercontinental and WWE champions. Another first during the 90s would be the event is hosted in a foreign country at the Sky Dome in Toronto, Canada, with a young Edge and Christian in attendance. I don't know who those individuals are,
Neither do
but
I.
I'm sure they're important to the community.
Also, I love that foreign country technically is
It's
true to
Canada.
it's Canada, but like, really?
Right, really. It's foreign country. It's just Canada. We just walked
It's
up
just
and,
Canada,
yeah.
right?
No offense, Canada. I don't mean you're just Canada. I just mean foreign as in you're not in like Japan, is
Right.
what I
You don't have
meant.
to cross an ocean to
No,
be there.
you literally just like waddle up to the
Yeah.
edge, you know?
Yeah.
There was also mystery and speculation during this time surrounding the identity of someone called the Million Dollar Man's fourth Survivor Team series member, who revealed to be the Undertaker, which is apparently a famous name. The terrifying rookie impresses, eliminating Dusty Rhodes and Coco Beware, and the Dead Man, with his larger than life and death personality, becomes the embodiment of this particular era in which colorful characters are now the norm. And that's just kind of how a lot of the Technicolor, the really flashy clothes and lights cinema style is what kind of takes hold of the events.
I have heard of the Undertaker before. I think Chris said that that was his favorite one.
Oh, really?
I think so. Yeah, he was into it. His whole family was into it.
Tyler was too, unfortunately. Anyway,
Yeah, can't relate.
are you gonna have me and Chris on this? And I was like, no, it's gonna take long enough just to get through the freaking time. We are still in
True.
part one.
We're still in part one.
Links, you can't go that way. Links, you can't go that way. You're gonna knock everything off. That's my drink. Okay, sorry. One moment. My son is traipsing what is my desk right now.
And he's trying to be destructive.
He is. Okay, he made it. Okay, anyway. We're gonna skip ahead to 1994.
That's when I was born.
I was born the year before. Crazy.
I know. Old.
Oh, shut up. Get out of here. So essentially everything that happens between then and now is just individuals doing firsts. You got pay-per-view events. You've got new names that are coming into the franchise. Lots of upsets and defeats on both sides. But in 1994, there was a live event in New York's Madison Square Garden where the mighty Diesel would roll over someone named Bob Backlund in an unbelievable 8 seconds to win the WWE Championship. And with that victory, he ended up earning the coveted Triple Crown, which was a really big deal. And having already held the Intercontinental and World Tag Team titles, this was huge. This was a really big win, and not just a single win in this case. The Triple Crown is when you, I don't know, won three.
Not to be confused with the Triple Crown that you get from winning the Kentucky Derby.
Correct.
The something else and the other one.
No one gave him a rose wreath to wear is all we're saying. and he
also, his opponents were not horses.
Correct. Out there. Also correct. We did not also parade him around the track with a fancy hat. It was literally just a belt. But it was a big deal because the Triple Crown really is huge in that scenario because you had three events that you had to best potentially other greats that you just took down without a single issue, and you give yourself this 8 seconds on Bob Backlund and you're done, and now you just have this Triple Crown championship award. Like, that's insane, right?
Yeah.
Also, just a year later, the WWE would attract major mainstream media attention when NFL football great Lawrence Taylor battles and defeated Bam Bam Bigelow, which is so fun to say. I love these names, in the WrestleMania, whatever that Roman numeral is, main event. And in that other action, The Undertaker's WrestleMania streak would move from 4-0 with a win over King Kong Bundy. We're really more worried about the network.
That's a very interesting name, that King Kong Bundy, because you're implying Ted Bundy, but also King Kong, which is...
What a weird mashup.
Wild.
Oh, also, why? I don't know.
Also, why?
Also, why? I don't know. So that's great. There's a lot going on in 1997. Again, lots of different matches, one of which is in Montreal, Canada in 1997. This was where the Survivor Series WWE Championship match was between Shawn Michaels and Bret Hitman Hart. And Mick Mahon orders the official to call for the bell when Bret is trapped in his own finishing maneuver. Sag and embarrassing,
which is embarrassing.
And that particular finishing move is called the sharpshooter. So if you want to take a look at what it was that got him all pretzeled up, feel free. And still a topic of debate today, apparently, is the contentious moment that would forever change the careers of the three men involved, which is in this case is Shawn Michaels, Bret Hitman, and Mick Mahon. So I don't know why it's still a problem, but apparently there are still people up in arms about this particular issue because they called for the bell. So I don't know. It's wrestling stuff, I guess. We'll skyrocket over to 1999, where there was Mankind, which... How are you going to have a name that just encompasses everyone, really? Like, that's very bold. But I guess he won the WWE Championships from The Rock on Raw, which, again, another weird stink, I guess. Like, you know, nobody really liked Mankind, I guess, which is a weird statement. I mean, the wrestler.
Notice how he didn't choose Womankind.
He did not. Just men. And on WCW, announcer Tony Shivan gives the results away, dismissively adding, quote, "That'll put a lot of butts in seats," end quote. The ploy backfires completely, though, because fans switch their televisions en masse to see the hardcore legends triumph. And unfortunately, doesn't really do a whole lot for Mankind, both the man and in reality, because the fans were not into it.
Right.
There's also Stone Cold Steve Austin, who would drive a beer truck down the aisle on Raw, which was another network that the WWE would provide, and uses a fire hose to unleash an outpouring of ale on The Rock, which is such an interesting scene. But he does it on The Rock, Mr. McMahon, and Shane. So they get bathed in beer, which I think is actually kind of fun. And one of the defining moments of the Rattlesnakes run around the same time is the incident is made all the better by the sight of the chairman doing the breaststroke in a puddle of suds. The alcohol suds.
It seems wild.
And I don't know who Stone Cold Steve Austin is. And when I said I do not know who Stone Cold Steve Austin is, my husband had a conniption.
Anyway. Well, I was going to say he is one of the ones that's kind of famous. But yeah, I don't really... I couldn't place him.
Me neither. Like if you had him in a crowd of wrestlers, I'd be like, I don't know which one he is. Yeah,
I know The Rock though.
Yeah, and The Rock is. I know who Hulk is.
He's. Yeah. Right.
I could pick
him
out.
The only two.
They don't have face tattoos, but I know who they are.
That's right. The Rock is Kevin Hart's friend.
It's like Taylor Swift's boyfriend. It's Kevin Hart's friend. Kevin, that's a shout to you. That's hilarious.
That's right.
I love the comparison videos of them sitting in the barstool chairs and Kevin can swing his feet and The Rock is like fully planted. It just gets me every time.
Did you watch the Tom Brady roast?
No.
Oh, you should.
Okay.
It's so good.
Is it good?
And Kevin Hart hosts it and they like every comedian that gets up like roasts Kevin Hart and it's so funny. And a lot of Rock jokes are, you know,
of course, made.
But it's very funny. You should watch it.
I love his live stream. I think it was on TikTok. And he's just like, The Rock's in my chat. Get out of my chat, man.
Get out of my chat.
It's hilarious. Right. Yeah. So I don't know. The Rock is a staple, I feel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's also very movie famous, which I feel like was on purpose. But anyway.
He crossed over.
He did.
Very well.
Very well. Yeah. Him and... maybe controversial, Vin Diesel, who I don't think was a wrestler, but I feel like he also is in a lot of movies where The Rock is or in roles that The Rock may also play.
Yeah.
And I enjoy him as an actor too.
Similar.
Yeah. So anyway, on Raw, which I feel like is how you have to say it, Mr. McMahon reveals himself to be the malevolent power behind his own daughter's kidnapping. Which is just a stage thing. Don't even think too much of it. It's like a whole, it's, okay, so let me back up.
All right. Okay.
I'll back up.
I'm confused.
So in this scenario, what you also have to understand with the rivalries is there's also backstories. These are characters, okay? These are people portraying characters, wrestling aside. These are people portraying characters with backgrounds and stories and previous beefs with each other that is just orchestrated and written in to the narrative, okay?
Okay.
Daughter is kidnapped and it's just like, haha, it was me all along and that's why the Undertaker has evil deeds, blah blah blah. It's essentially what this whole part of the 1999 segment is. Which is great, I guess.
So it's all just them making outrageous claims for no reason.
Yes. And then as payback, I assume if he did kidnap his own daughter, shame on you. As payback, Linda McMahon turns the tables on the chairman, making Stone Cold Steve Austin WWE's new CEO, which is why I don't really know the difference between what is created and what is reality. For weeks, WWE fans watch as cryptic clock ticks away on Raw, and the countdown's purpose remains a mystery until it hits zero and Chris Jericho debuts.
Jericho,
boldly interrupting The Rock, W2J.
An hour of Kirsten making outrageous decisions on how to pronounce things.
That's how you say it. When I went to Jericho, right? Isn't there a weather system? Jericho, that's what it is.
Okay.
Anyway, he interrupts The Rock, which is kind of sad, but he's very cocky and fearless and isn't afraid to make a statement, blah blah blah. It's all in the name of television. Okay. Basically, at the end, Somehow Triple H is now involved and breaks up Stephanie McMahon's nuptials to test by showing a video of himself pulling up to a drive-thru wedding chapel in Vegas and tying the knot with an unconscious Stephanie. I don't know what's happening anymore.
It sounds like a soap opera.
It is. It's reality TV. This is the Real Housewives.
I hate to tell you this, but this is the Real Housewives, just with more muscles.
Exactly.
And possibly more fake tan.
Definitely more fake tan. Enraged at the game, which I don't know, Mr. McMahon demands satisfaction at Armageddon with the provision that should Triple H lose, the marriage be annulled, which isn't really real anyway. And the game wins the bout. Stephanie adds insult to injury and hugs her father's rival. Blah, blah, blah. Stephanie's the daughter and she's married. I don't know. So anyway, when we get back, we're going to talk about the 2000s, because the 2000s, at least for our generation, is where names like John Cena and The Rock really take off. Like, The Rock was famous in the 90s, but like, he really becomes solidified as a fan favorite. So yeah, I hope this has been entertaining.
Wonderful.
Thus far.
This is great. I love this.
That makes one of us.
Tired of dealing with lawn work in the sweltering heat of summer? Or maybe you're not a fan of being attacked by spiders while raking the leaves in the fall. I know I'm not. No matter what lawn and garden service you need, we have a solution for you.
If you live in the Richmond, Virginia area, KT Maintenance LLC is your one-stop shop for lawn care, brush removal, and even mulch and rock delivery. Whether you need commercial or residential services, each job gets a free estimate from owner and operator Chris Thornton.
To get your free estimate today, call Chris at 804-986-8270 or send an email his way at ktmaintllc@gmail.com and get your lawn and garden feeling fresh.
Welcome back to WWE. I'm just kidding. We're not doing that.
Yeah, please don't do that.
Oh, she finally jumped up. I told you as soon as Boom. I hit record. Hey, how you doing?
She's like, there's too much pressure. Mom's watching me.
It's
and
true.
Then you focus on something else and she comes up and says, hey, hello.
Okay.
Oh,
it was very clunky, but we made it. Are you good? Oh, now you don't want to talk. Okay, cool.
Meow, meow.
She's such a mess. She's going to climb on the desk and hit every button with her butt. Okay. So now that we're back, enjoy looking at her butthole. Anyway.
Look at my fancy butthole.
Look at my fancy butthole. Look at everybody. Okay. So now we've crested into the 2000s. We're going to start in 2001 because 2000 is just literally more like basic broadcasting and specific to different people's triumphs and all of that. And that's not to say that that's not important. It's just not relevant. So, in 2001, WWE would renew its Rock and Wrestling connection with MTV in order to develop a new reality program, which was titled Tough Enough. And in this series, contestants would compete for a coveted WWE contract, which was huge, okay? The station has been... She's in the way. The station...
She's looking at me.
She's like, oh my God. You can't see her, but she's doing little biscuits. So this was important because WWE was so popular. So popular. And if you were an upcoming, whether it was a wrestler or a showman or a combination or a female wrestler trying to make a debut, this, in my opinion, based on the research from this article, this is where you wanted to get your start because you knew your name was going to get out there fast, hot, and aggressively. And if you could really make a stand, you'd end up on their regular programming, which is really the end goal for all of this. So the first season winners ended up being Maven and Nydia, and they would make it into the ranks of WWE, as do fellow contestants Christopher Nowinski and Josh Matthews. There was such a popular series that they did end up doing a season two, in which case the victors were Jackie, Gaeta, and Linda Miles, who also share a moment in the sun, which I didn't realize needed its own moniker. So anyway, it's the season three winner, though, and the season four Loser that would enjoy the most success with this series with WWE. Can you get out of my face, please? Sorry. She's like sniffing my mouth right now.
Excuse me, that's rude. All right.
Sorry. Sorry, Blair.
She loves you.
Ma'am, you're literally sitting on my keyboard. Okay, bye. Anyway. So the season three winner was John Morrison, and the season four loser was the Miz. They don't include his real name. And I guess in this way, these two would create the most upset, end up having the most success in the actual WWE scene, and were overall just extremely popular. So that's all they say about that. There is a lot going on in the 2000s that is further portraying these characters. I'm trying not to be rude because I know they're not characters, but maybe they are. But these personas, I guess, is a better way to say it. And it basically amps up not only the owner, McMahon, but also all the other people that are involved in Raw and the WWE scene. And it also introduces new people in the mix, including, or not new people, but at the Vengeance, so different events that they would start to function and push out as new places to go and wrestle and watch your favorite wrestling people. Very big in terms of boom for names and content
Nice.
pushing. Yeah. Lots of Stone Cold Steve Austin between 2001 and 2002, as well as The Rock. In 2002, 60 superstars would find a new home on both the WWE draft for the SmackDown and Raw. So those were being split. The Rock would move to SmackDown, and the Deadman, along with whomever else, would run over to Raw. And that was with the exception of 2003, where the draft became an annual WWE event that would take all, because there's so many now, they would take all of these wrestlers, put them up to the board of directors for WWE, and essentially throw them into these categories for the different networks and draw up new contracts. You could also have a brand extension, apparently, but at the end of the day, these drafts were just annual things to help kind of section everybody off. So that's also why, during this time, if you look back at previous show times or airings, you might have seen The Rock in one fight group fighting against one set of other people, but after this time frame, he was probably fighting against a completely different network of groups that were drafted into SmackDown as opposed to Raw, which may have been split up differently. So, new rivalries, and new content yet again. Ric Flair is also a name that you're going to hear a lot in this. And if you don't know who he is, I don't know a lot about him, but I have heard his name. But he is also involved in all of this. And the portion to be aware of is in the early 2000s, the United States was also involved in some pretty sad things in terms of their military and attacks and things of that nature. And so in 2003, the WWE would perform its first annual tribute to the troops, which, in fairness, a lot of music artists and things do that anyway. So this was just WWE's contribution. And it would broadcast on Christmas Day edition for the SmackDown. And soldiers based in Baghdad, Iraq, were treated to several outdoor matches, including a main event that saw John Cena defeat Big Show and both men stunned by Stone Cold. And he was disguised as Santa Claus during this.
Cool.
Power to the troops. Happy Memorial Day, I guess. Yet again. So that's pretty much it. Honestly, the 2000s is literally just fighting between different people, new names like John Cena taking hold. In 2005 at WrestleMania 21, which I'm so glad they stopped using freaking Roman numerals. It's just that much in my brain. WWE would kick off a new era in LA, a town big enough for two main events, which would be John Cena and Batista, who win their first world titles, and ending the reigns of JBL and Triple H, respectively, Sag, in addition to Edge clutching the Money in the Bank briefcase to emerge as the first ever winner of the much beloved high risk bout. And stars truly are born in Los Angeles, is what they say. I don't know if that's true, but there was a lot going on. Unlike others before it, though, the 2005 WWE draft would span the entire month of June, with each brand's GM securing 5 picks. Of all the seismic shifts, though, the biggest were John Cena, who would be moving to Raw with his WWE Championship, and Batista, who would be shipping out for SmackDown to bring with him the World Heavyweight title. Apparently, there was a lot of hardcore fans that were a little upset about that, and were not on board. But other people were like, fantastic, great, who cares? We're still watching them fight.
Fun fact about John Cena is he's a huge BTS fan.
He is indeed. And who wouldn't be, truly?
Honestly,
Also in 2005, there's something called the Summer Slam. And I hate saying this out loud, but leather chaps face off against feather boas, which is just horrifying as a sentence.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
It sounds like a burlesque club or something.
It might as well be, truthfully. But this is Hulk Hogan and Shawn Michaels, which was a contest icon versus icon match. And the bout stems from HBK's treachery, specifically hitting Hogan with Sweet Chin Music on the July 4 edition of Raw. I don't know what that is. After fighting through HBK's best, Hogan hulked up, as he does, because he is the Hulkster, to great applause and delivers a leg drop for the win, which is again his signature move. So, Summer Slam! So, anyway. I'm having a lot of fun with just saying the names.
I think you, yes, that's perfect. And it gives me like monster truck rally vibes.
It feels like that.
Monday. Oh, come to the Coliseum for blah, blah, blah. Ooh, hi, Tyler.
Foods.
He has provided me foods. Hopefully I can eat it, though. Thank you. For anybody that's listening, I now have a chicken quesadilla.
Love that for you.
Thanks, bub. Podcasting with husbands.
Yes.
And they a Diet
bring
Coke.
Us food. Oh, that's
like he
nice.
Knows me. Anyway.
I know.
Okay, so yes, it's literally just ridiculous. There's a lot of names. It's a lot of fun to say. Lots of different. We've already talked about this. There's tons of outfits and silly constructs for all of these content pieces. And it's really the names that just kind of hit home and you start getting attached to like you would in anything else. Like if you watch a movie and you're like, oh, I love that character. That's what you end up just like, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But since you mentioned Donald Trump. I take you to 2007 at WrestleMania 23.
Ready.
It's nothing crazy. Basically, Stone Cold Austin returned to raise hell as the guest official during the Battle of the Billionaires, which is very fitting for someone like Donald Trump at the time. So Donald Trump was actually on the corner of a wrestler, Bobby Lashley, and Mr. McMahon was in Omega's, and the stage was set for what was called a Titanic showdown, which is kind of in bad taste, in my opinion.
They hit an iceberg, and then they both die because one of them doesn't let the other one stay on the freaking door.
There wasn't enough room, Jack. Lashley emerged victorious, which is great for both Donald and Lashley. And comically, Mr. McMahon ended up having to shave his entire head in front of all 80,000 fans, which I'm kind of glad it wasn't Trump, to be fair.
Why? He
would not look good bald.
Okay. All right. So conspiracy, but like, then would we be in the same position we are now?
If he was
is
bald?
Is America ready for a bald president? All of them have had hair.
All of them have also gone balding afterwards, which is kind of sad.
Well, I mean, the stress is real.
I was going to say a testament to the stress of that position, I guess. Yeah. No, I don't think so. It would not have worked in his favor for sure.
Right.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah. Still, he won by proxy is essentially what the end of that story is.
Sure.
Also, during that same year, so 2007, Raw would celebrate its crystal anniversary, where Mr. McMahon would show off this show by addressing the crowd, only to be humiliated by his family and a host of superstars past, including Bastian Booger, ew, and Abe Knuckleball Schwartz. And that night also featured flashbacks from some of Raw's classic moments for Hulk Hogan.
Yes. He was the Mr. McMahon. Whatever. he was at the Tom Brady roast.
Oh. Mm-hmm. So you've waited this long to say that?
I just want to let you know.
Okay.
I forgot.
But now it's all coming back to me.
Yeah.
That's great. What did he look like?
Bald.
Still? Oh, God. He like shaved his head. He's like, well, this is my new personality.
I'm having, hold on.
Okay.
Let me fact check myself really quick. Sure.
Don't worry about it. It's fine. Okay. So that is 2007. Lots is changing, lots of adjustments. There's apparently like, money involved in 2008, where Mr. McMahon loosens his purse strings and ended up giving away some of his money to Raw, dubbing the contest Million Dollar Mania. And the chairman would promise to disperse $1 million a week to fans.
A week
to fans. In the end, the McMahon vaults would be cleared of $3 million as WWE fans all over the USA would end up pocketing the cash. Now, I don't know how this occurred. What made you, like, did you have season tickets?
Oh, were you just always kidding. There? Just kidding. So it's actually Dana White, who's UFC. Oh. I got confused.
Oh, okay. That's fine. Was she still bald?
It's a boy.
Was he bald?
Yes.
Oh, perfect. Okay. So it's still fine. That's funny.
Anyway, that's all. Sorry. I got my two men fighting arenas mixed up.
It happens to the best of us. Happens to me all the time, honestly.
Yeah.
You'd be surprised. And then in 2009, the anniversary of WrestleMania, its 25th, in fact, would also be a big hit. And apparently WWE would pull out all the stops. The crowd packed to the rafters, which makes sense because this was obviously a huge event. It rocked Reliant Stadium. I don't actually know where that is, but it's somewhere out there. And WWE greets past and present collide, where Ricky Steamboat wrestles in a WWE ring for the first time in 18 years, while The Undertaker and while The Undertaker and Shawn Michaels tear down the house in a bout that sees the Dead Man's undefeated streak continue. Finally, for that particular event, Randy Orton gets his comeuppance as the triple at the hands of Triple H, and WrestleMania 50. Would have been insane at that time.
Okay, so Reliant Stadium's in Houston, and it goes by the NRG Stadium now.
Ah, so it has changed. So if you're looking for it, it's not there anymore. Kind of. It's just changed.
Precisely.
So yeah, that's all of the anniversaries that had been moving forward. John Cena, again, making waves. 2011, there was a anticipated showdown between John Cena and The Rock at WrestleMania with, for some reason, the most Roman numerals I've ever seen in one name. And the first main event on the grandest stage of them all to be announced a whole year in advance, because this was huge. No spoilers here, so if you want to know what happened, look it up. If you haven't seen it and you want to, I'm not going to spoil that for you. And then 2012 to today, right? So There was a big main event in WrestleMania history, which I'm not going to talk about because it will probably also tell you the results of said match. But basically, there were a lot of fans in Miami's Sun Life Stadium during The Rock and John Cena. Years later, even, there was fallout matches and a lot of tensions between those two wrestlers, WrestleMania and the fans. And overall, despite all of that, the two did meet again for the grandest stage of them all yet again. Only this time, the WWE title is on the line for that match. Again, I'm not going to tell you who won. Go look it up. It's very fun. But those were the two main names that started to just take over. So Hulk Hogan, Mr. T, all of those, while they were the greats, these new, more modern ones were coming in and stealing the spotlight, along with what I have compiled based on an article of what would be considered the current top 10 wrestlers in 2024. According to the article. That's all I'm saying.
All right.
Also, keep in mind, this does not include wrestlers that are part of different franchises. This is strictly to WWE individuals. Some of them are freelancers, so they just wrestle for themselves and they just do debuts in different areas. Blair's trying to get her cat to talk to me and it's not working.
He did, but
I didn't hear it. Yeah.
Okay. Maybe it's good at filtering out noise then. I don't know. But I heard it in my headphones.
That's so sad. Hello, son. Oh.
Anyway,
I'm so sad.
Go ahead.
Okay. So the top 10 wrestlers 2024, WWE specific. Number one is Roman Reigns. Number two is Cody Rhodes. Number three is Seth Rollins. Number four is Jey Uso. Number five, CM Punk. Number six, Rhea Ripley. Some of these are women. Number seven, Gunther. Just Gunther.
Like the barista. Yeah. From Friends.
Yes, exactly. Number eight, Randy Orton. So his name is still very relevant. Number nine, Logan Paul. Ew. Number 10, Becky Lynch. So those are the wrestlers and, you know, that are considered the top. I will tell you the article had other people in different spots because they were just doing the ranking for all franchises for wrestlers. So there's definitely a bunch on this list who, in the grand scheme of things, would not be considered top 10 overall. So do your own research if you're curious, or if you have done your own research, let us know. Also, let us know if you have a favorite wrestler, because I'm going to be honest, as someone who's just not attached to this franchise, I don't really have a favorite. I know the names. I enjoy the memes. And that's about as far as it goes for me.
Yeah, I don't. It's not on my radar at all. Yeah. It's not a vibe for me.
I will say, this is very fun. When we go and visit my family in Pennsylvania, we drive by a WWE facility. And there's, which is why I did this in the first place, because I keep seeing it. I'm like, I might as well, you know, like, whatever. But it's through, like, it's either through New York or Connecticut. It's one of those. It's like an in-between. And we pass it all the time. And they recently acquired another building on the other side of the highway. So it's just like, wow. WWE! And it's just like ridiculous. So anyway, that's if you're in that area, maybe you've seen the buildings, but it's very fun to look at and imagine people just duking it out at work. Anyway, that's all I have.
Anyway. It's kind of like going down to the Outer Banks in North Carolina and seeing Gravedigger.
Yes. And I love, okay. One
a very
that
niche reference, but if you know, you know.
Truthfully, one that we should do is Monster Jam, because I've been to one Monster Jam, and I had such a good time.
I went to Monster Jam as a child. Oh. And my dad took my brother and I, and it was cool.
I did it once here. We went to the Amica Pavilion in Providence, and it was small, so they couldn't do a lot of the tricks, because if you don't know, usually they're at like larger stadiums, and those things are huge. Okay. Mm-hmm. They're bigger than you think. So they weren't able to do tons of cool things, but I would love to go to one on a giant stadium and just hear rah, 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 and I'm, you know, we do that. Anyway, we should do an episode on that.
Okay. Sounds good. Well, anyway, so that wraps up this mediocre content episode. You're welcome. Feel free. Oh, God. Please feel free to send us an email with any questions, comments, concerns, or episode topic suggestions at mediocrecontentpodcast@gmail.com. Follow us on Instagram or TikTok at Mediocre Content Podcast or on Twitch also at Mediocre Content Podcast. We will be doing a live Twitch stream this Thursday. Tune into that to figure out if we're continuing Twitch streaming afterwards. Yeah, we got a lot going on this summer, so we'll see. Don't forget to rate us 5 stars anywhere you listen to podcasts. And we will see you next week. This has been Mediocre Content.
Thanks so much for listening. Cheers.
Cheers.